You're listening to Shared Security, a podcast that explores the bonds shared between people and technology. Hosted by Tom Esten, Scott Wright, and Kevin Johnson. Welcome to episode 318 of the Shared Security Podcast. This week, we've got some really interesting topics for you all today. First is this get to know me posting trend that's happening on Instagram and other social networks. And well, why sharing this personal or very personal information publicly is usually a bad idea. And we're actually going to talk about a story from back in the day that Kevin and I, we did a little bit of an experiment.
I always laugh when you say, today we have some really interesting stories. And I think to myself, Tom, you picked them.
Well, yeah, I'm announcing
that. I feel like you're biased about whether or not they're interesting.
I'm a little bit biased.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, you're right. I'm interested in them, I guess.
Thank you. At least you're interested.
Yeah.
That's all that matters. And then we'll finish up with a story about Ring discontinuing its request for assistance feature on its neighbor's app. Yeah, I know. But this allowed police to publicly request doorbell footage without a warrant. So we're going to talk about some of the pros and cons of this approach and, of course, get Kevin's thoughts, which we all know might be slightly controversial. So, and here he is, folks, my controversial co-host, the great Kevin Johnson.
Wow, controversial.
I like calling you that.
I'm good with that. I will take it as a badge of honor.
It is a badge of honor.
I'm controversial.
Yes.
Oh, man.
You might have a few listeners that might think that. We have had some feedback.
We have had some.
Related to that in the past.
Yeah. So. I often get lectured about what I say and how I say it. What's really, really fun is when I'm at an event, this literally just happened. I was at an event and somebody lectured me on my use of language. And I don't know what to do with it. Do you want me to say
bad language? Like what, like the way you speak or what do you mean?
I mean, just in general, like in this case, the person was bothered by my use of F words and I don't mean fart. And
there's a shock.
I know. And he felt that I was less professional than I should be when I was presenting. And
yeah,
I'm not disagreeing with the person. What I'm saying is, and I actually posted about this on Facebook, that I often don't understand what people want from me when they say something to me, right? Like, not like, what the heck do you want? Just like, you say something to me and I don't get it. I don't understand it, right? And so what I've learned is, instead of trying to guess what the answer is that they want to hear or what type of thing, I now ask. And when I asked him, like, okay, well, what do you want? What do you want me to do? Like, how are you? Are you asking me to not curse now? Or do you want me to get up and apologize for having cursed in the past? Or he took it as sarcasm and it wasn't. It was honestly like, dude, I don't know what you want me to say. And I want to respond. Right. So I have that issue quite often. But yeah, I get lectured quite often on my language.
So I just like to say, I mean, you like to drop F-bombs because you're so passionate particular topic and you get, you know.
Here's the funny part. I don't think it's passion. I mean, I am passionate about topics.
It's anger.
No, because anger is a form of passion. It's a word that I kind of tick. Mm. Like, I don't even realize. I mean, I've talked to you about this.
Yeah, you have.
Like, I was on stage in Michigan. Jason was there, my business partner, Jason Gill, who is way nicer and smarter than I am. But and I got off the stage and I had made a concerted effort not to curse while I did my talk. Like I was like, I'm not going to do it. This is the perfect example. This is the perfect place to practice because it's a less professional conference. It's a great conference. It's GERCON. I got off the stage and I said to Jason, I'm so proud of myself. I did not curse a single time when I was up there. And Jason said, Kevin, you said the F word 5 times in the first 10 minutes of your talk. And I was like, no, I didn't. And he's like, yeah, no, you did.
I counted.
And sure enough, I had. But I didn't even realize, like, it's just a word, just happens. Right? Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So the tell you about me or what?
Yeah,
what
get to know me.
Get to know me. By the way, yeah. I did a search for that hashtag on LinkedIn, Instagram. I don't know why LinkedIn is where I went, but let's go with it. At the time that I did the search, and let's be clear, this is my results, and we all know how the things work. The hashtag get to know me with no underscores or spaces, or not spaces, but dashes or whatever, 459,215 posts.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Now, having said that, many of them that I looked at, now I did not look at anywhere close to 495,000. I randomly picked through and looked at things. I would say a large number of them, maybe not most, but a significant number of them are things like, hey, I'm running a business. This is my business page. Let me tell you about my business. By the way, in my opinion, is absolutely something you should be doing if you're running a business on whatever, is, hey, I do woodworking and I sell pens and furniture and here's what, like, how long I've been doing that. And here's the type of furniture and pens you can buy from me. Or whatever, right? Like that's not what we're talking about here. What we're talking about is the get to know me. Like, for example, the very first one, the second one on the list. Hi, there's a wavy emoticon.
Yeah, whatever.
I'm Claire, 40 years old and 5'3", size 14, 16. I'm married with two children, Grace 10 and Jude 9. I met my husband when we were 16 at a campsite in New Quay on holiday with our friends after our GCSEs. I'm a complete introvert and struggle talking to new people, but you're willing to share all this information. And it's a video, and I've not watched the video. I'm reading from just the thumbnail of stuff. And so you have two different things. One is here's a video where I'm going to talk and say this stuff. Two is it's a series of photos, and they appear to follow a template where it's like, okay, here's the information on the first picture. Now here's the information that goes on the second picture and everything else like that. And look, when I first saw this link, I will admit, you sent it out. It was a LinkedIn post by a guy that runs a company that does awareness training.
Not Scott.
Another guy that runs a company that does awareness training.
Yeah.
And I will admit that my initial reaction to this was, come on, Tom. Are we falling for marketing for this guy? you know what I mean?
No.
Like I will admit that was my first thought. And because I use Instagram, not really. I follow some people there and mainly some woodworking stuff and things like that. Artists that I get a kick out of. And so I use it more as a let me see things, not post things, right? And I had not seen anybody post this. And let me be clear. I'm not saying, well, if I hadn't seen it, it must not be true. But it was like, okay, come on. What? And then I started looking, and like I said, 459,000, over 459,000 posts. What the heck are you people thinking?
Well,
this is where I was born. Here's my parents' names. Here, like, yeah, almost, I mean, not size, you know, size 14 to 16 or 5'3", but every bit of information just on the first one is bank account reset passwords, set questions.
Yeah. And these things seem to go through a cycle, right? Every couple of years, we seem to see another one of these that go viral. And it goes back to maybe just a little bit of a history lesson. When social media was in its infancy, you and I actually did our own experiment in the security community, where we would think that people have a little more awareness about giving away personal information. And this was a thing called the 25 random things about you.
Yeah.
And we had used this experiment as part of our talk at DEF CON that one year. And we were shocked.
That one year.
But remember like how we talked about this and we literally copied the password reset questions from Yahoo at the time.
Yep.
And I just did a copy paste into Facebook.
I forgot it was Yahoo, but yeah.
It was Yahoo. Yeah. And we had people answering those questions and sharing them correctly. I know. By security professionals.
Yeah, because it's like that old thing, like, I'll give you a chocolate bar if you give me a password. Sure, password's a password.
Right.
Or is it good?
Right.
I'm not telling you. You know what I mean?
But
yeah, valid answers, things like this. Here's the thing. I actually think we need to stop telling people about sharing this information. Here's what I think we need to start telling people. Stop answering this question as your password reset question. Like, if you look at my password, I think I mentioned it last week when we were talking about that I had to do a wire transfer and my bank had security questions for me, and I don't answer those questions validly, right? I just store the answers I gave them so that the next time they call me, so the question doesn't actually matter, right? Like they're getting an answer that has nothing to do with the actual question. It's just another set of passwords is how I treat it, right? I think that's a better option because let's be blunt. And you and I have talked about this many times, that the reality is when something comes through social media, we trust it at a higher level because we quote unquote know the people who are sharing it.
Yes, exactly.
Right? We believe we have these relationships. We believe that we have this level of trust and respect and whatever. And so I think this goes back to the same thing as, you know, what we say about lots of things is we shouldn't tell people not to click things. We should stop building systems that require them to click. This is the same thing. I think people are going to share this. I'll give you a perfect example. Do you know my mother's maiden name?
No.
Yes, you do.
Do I?
And do you know why I know you know my mother's maiden name?
Why?
Because it's my last name. I changed my name when I turned 18 to my mother's maiden name.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Right.
Okay.
It was a trick question because I know you
that
know
is a trick
it.
Question. But
remembering the context is a completely different thing. Right. So mother's maiden name being a secret answer for me is asinine because it's my last name. And I'm not, now the way I got there is less common, but lots of people have their mother's maiden name as their last name.
Of course.
Right. Yeah. And this is a dumb example, but I think it's right. So instead, what we should be doing is telling people, stop answering those questions correctly.
Right.
Put answers that you'll remember, that you store somewhere, you know, password manager or whatever. And then that way, because the reality is Claire here, who is married with two children and is size 14 to 16. And I want to be very clear. I'm not making fun of her size. I have no concept of what size 14 to 16 means. And the only thing I can think of is that it's maybe bigger. Because she also says stuff about having problems with her weight, but I don't know, right? So please, nobody get offended that I'm making fun of this woman's size because I have no concept what it means. But she wants to share that information. She wants to build that relationship with the people that follow her and that she follows and everything else like that. And personally, I believe we should encourage that. I believe we should encourage people to know who they're talking to and know more about the people they're connected to. If for nothing else, other than to actually build the level of trust we already assume exists.
Yeah. I mean, it's relationship building 101.
Which I'm not good at.
Should this be done in a public forum is the bigger question with potentially malicious actors that could gain access to this information or look at this information. And
I think you're right. And as long as we use that information as a checkpoint, then we can't encourage her to share what she wants to. I just think we focus on the wrong thing. We should stop sharing that information it's the same thing as social security numbers, right?
Mm-hmm.
The U.S. government has said for a very, very long time that social security numbers should not be used as an identifier because of the security concerns about it.
And they still are.
And they still are, right? That's the problem, right? We build things and we go, this is okay. And then we're like, oh, dang, no, it wasn't.
And I think I would just take that a step further too, that we should be educating organizations that develop applications that you shouldn't be using password reset questions anymore.
Right.
Like those are
period.
Those are gone the way of the dodo bird, right? In terms of just like password expiration, there's so many other new controls that are way better and way more secure that should be used. So
my example that I gave about the wire transfer, that was not for a password reset. That was for vetting who they called.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. And
that's in that case, one of the things that I've seen done very, very well is instead of having a secret question answer crap, when I have a phone call from the bank, I should open up the bank app on my phone and it should give me a PIN for that call. Like hey, you're about to receive password. A call.
Right.
Here's a PIN to give the person. That way they know I've got my phone with my app. I'm logged in.
Exactly.
It's me. Right. That's a way. Instead of saying, hey, Kevin, who's the first person you kissed? Which is, by the way, the question they asked me. And I don't know. I really don't know why that's the question. And it's not the right answer. But I.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you tired of compromising on security when it comes to managed file transfer? Look no further. Meet Kiteworks, the most secure MFT on the market today. Kiteworks MFT suite is not just secure, it's FedRAMP moderate authorized by the Department of Defense since 2017. This means it undergoes yearly audits and continuous monitoring by certified third-party assessors. But that's not all. Kiteworks provides a world-class secure file sharing and email platform. Easy for end users, manageable for administrators. With custom integrations, unified console management, Kiteworks sets the bar high where traditional MFT servers fall short. Step into the future of secure managed file transfer with Kiteworks. Visit kiteworks.com to get started today. That's kiteworks.com to get started today.
You want your organization to be secure and compliant and to have a healthy culture, but your employees' lack of awareness makes you vulnerable to data theft, fraud, and compliance penalties. It's frustrating that the boring static training content that's being used today has failed to improve employees' ability to defend against cyber attacks. At ClickArmor, we know that without using gamification, it's extremely hard to get staff to understand how to avoid threats. Our gamified simulations and challenges have provided a 50% average improvement in thousands of employees' ability to spot phishing threats. Go to clickarmor.ca/sharedsecurity to get your free gamified phishing assessment for up to 500 employees. You'll see quickly how gamified simulations can help your team be more resilient and compliant and help avoid costly ransomware and fraud incidents. Let ClickArmor help you go from being an underappreciated, stressed out fall guy to being an innovative leader who's the catalyst for greater productivity in your organization.
So let's finish up with a fun story.
Ring.
About Ring, our favorite
Ring.
Company. Yes,
I Ring.
Yes. So they are discontinuing this request for assistance tool within the Neighbors app. And this allowed police to request doorbell footage. Now, we've talked about this before, right?
Like, yeah, we have.
Like, I mean, if there was a crime committed in front of my house, I will gladly give the police my footage showing said crime. I have no problem with that.
That footage specifically.
Correct. Right. That footage specifically. And so now, of course, they've now removed this and they're requiring that police have to have a warrant to do this. And they also describe emergency. There is like emergency situations where the police could get access to this footage. And there is some controversy over what is considered an emergency.
And to be clear, according to the article, they're still able to get warrantless access, but they have to ask publicly.
They have to
message the person. They have to ask publicly. They have to.
Yeah. Right. So it's documented.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that makes, So I'm torn here, right? Like I want to be very clear. I want to help the police investigate crime. If there's
a
crime happening, right? Like the qualifier there is really a crime happening. And, you know, I'm very, very against warrantless anything.
Same.
Period. There's a reason we set up that system, right? Like you and I didn't do it, but there's a reason warrants matter. And it bothers me. I will also point out, we're talking about Ring, but the article even talks about that Google Nest still allows this level of access. And,
yes.
And what concerns me about, okay, you know what? The doorbell I have downstairs, at the office, we have a Ring doorbell on the office. And right, the building in front of us got broken into one night. And I looked at the camera to see if we could see anything. Turns out I couldn't. They broke in on the other side of the building. But I looked, and if I had seen something, I absolutely would have turned over that footage to the police. Here's the issue I have, right? Forget warrantlessness. Forget all that kind of stuff. I have customers that come to the office. We have a group of customers downstairs right now doing a ride-along pen test with two of my staff. The customer that's here, it's actually funny. It's actually relevant. The customer is here right now, according to their contract. I'm not allowed to tell anybody who they are. I can't mention their name. I can't talk about them. I can't, right? Like, I can't say, oh, so-and-so is here, right?
Right.
And by contract, if information about them being a customer is given to law enforcement, I have to notify them. And there is this entire process I have to go through. Now, it's geared toward if somebody was suing them and I got like a subpoena to give data about, you know, like something like that. It's geared that way. But the reality is, if law enforcement pulled the video camera footage from my Ring doorbell for yesterday and today, the 2 days they've been here so far, they would have the faces of my client, which violates the confidentiality of...
Oh, boy.
Right?
Yeah.
And I would have to... And by the way, it's not just Kevin calling them up and saying, hey, guys, there was a break-in and they got the Ring doorbell and so they got, you know, so-and-so's face. I literally have to pay my attorney to draft up a formal letter that gets sent to their attorney. All work we do with them stops. It's on pause until we determine whether or not I'm allowed to continue, you know, because of conflict, right? Like if I got, right? So just now this isn't, but I'm not the only person that did this, right? But all of this stuff, I hadn't even really thought about that until you sent the article over this morning. And I'm like, oh my God.
Complicated.
Now let's go one step further. How many people have a Ring or a Nest inside their house?
Oh, plenty.
Right? Like, yeah, this one faces out and it's public area and you have no expectation of privacy in a public area, blah, 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 blah. But what about that Ring or that Nest camera? Ring sells cameras on its own, don't they?
Yeah.
That you put in your baby's room as baby monitor.
Yeah.
Or you put in the living room because you have people over and you want to... I don't know why people put cameras inside their house.
I'm against that.
Yep,
like
totally.
Completely. But that's, you know, you really have to trust the company that you buy these cameras from. And unfortunately, I've seen way too many. There was just one Waze just had a breach where they had a AWS misconfiguration. And for 13,000 customers, they got thumbnails of somebody else's rooms and somebody else's camera feed for, you know, probably
for
about 5 minutes. Yeah. And by the way, we'll probably have a future episode about that because I got an email from them because I do have a Waze camera that I use as like a cat monitor when I'm on vacation.
That's a legitimate use for it.
Right.
But
I don't have
you,
it on all the time.
That's what I was going to say. I bet you unplug it the rest of the time.
I do, but I still got the email, which by the way, was a really good email. Talking about what they're doing and how they're responding. And it was like what we want to see.
Yeah.
But it again, like you put a lot of trust in these companies. And now when you get the police involved with warrants and things, it gets very complicated.
Trust
very quickly.
Trust that has not necessarily been respected.
Yes.
Or earned.
Right. Right. Great point. Well, I think that's all we have time for today. Great topics.
Somebody has a hard stop.
Someone has a hard stop. Yes. But
just to be clear to anybody listening, I'm the one that normally starts out with, man, I got a hard stop right here. I got
to
go.
Yeah.
And today,
now it happens
I'm just
to be
enjoying
me,
the fact it was Tom today.
Yes, it is my fault. But great discussion nonetheless. And hopefully we'll have Scott back here next week. I know he's been really busy over the last 2 weeks. So I think he's ready to chime in about Canadian politics.
Oh,
I'm
good.
Sure.
He'll talk about the Ministry of Jackassery.
Yes, that we talked about last week.
You know, next week's a very important week.
It is. It's your birthday.
Yes. I'll be 51. For some reason, I'm actually excited about this one. Not that excited. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to Tuesday.
Yeah, man. So. Yeah. Very cool. Very cool. Well, maybe we'll try to record... Maybe not on your birthday.
Well, I'll be traveling on my birthday. I'm actually speaking in Orlando. Monday
so it won't be on your birthday.
Nope.
Then.
No, it won't be on my birthday. I'm traveling on my birthday.
Very nice. All right. Well, until next time, thanks for listening and stay safe, stay secure, and stay private. Thanks for watching or listening to this episode. Please subscribe wherever you like to listen to podcasts and visit us at sharedsecurity.net or on X at sharedsec. If you'd like to help support the podcast and get early access to new episodes with no ads, plus many more exclusive benefits, become an official supporter of the podcast for only $5 a month. Visit sharedsecurity.net/supporter for more details.